host Keith the Madman, coming straight to you with movies, cigars, and a brew. Discussing movies while kicking back, whether they are good or they're bad. With the hottest movies and non-released, I am talking about details and what I see. So tune into the podcast while I vent with reviews, news, and nonsense, yeah.
And now, recorded live from the capital of the first state of these great United States, Keith.
Hello?
Mr. White, we need to talk.
Who is this?
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Well, you'd have to live under a rock or not really be a fan of James Bond to not recognize where that came from. And I have to admit, that clip from the ending of the 2006 Casino Royale really brought me back in fully. Not to say that that entire movie didn't completely change my perception of Bond and change who I thought my favorite Bond was. I mean, because I'm one of those guys. I grew up basically in the 80s, and the movie that the guy that I used to follow forever was Roger Moore. And I know that's blasphemous to many people because they see James Bond as obviously being Connery. And, I can kind of understand it. And actually, to be honest with you, my modern perception of Bond is now influenced most by Craig, and it makes me embrace Connery more. It makes me see what was great about Connery to some extent. And I don't know if that's maybe there are other people out there that feel that way that grew up as I did. But the realism that Craig brought is probably more akin to what Connery delivered. And maybe even Timothy Dalton. I really kind of like Timothy Dalton too. But when I was a kid in the 80s, it was all about Roger Moore, and tongue in cheek was fine because, I was young and we used to run around as spies and pretend we were Bond, and who wouldn't? It's for a male individual, there's almost nothing more like gratuitous than the Bond mystique. And Daniel Craig brings it back, but he brought back with it an element of, of realism. You could say that this was the era of Bourne, Jason Bourne giving its influence to the Bond characters. And I can see why somebody might say that. But at the end of the day, this is Bond, and he still has this element of being a killer, and he brings it full force in this new era that Daniel Craig has brought to us. And of course, the movie that we're really going to talk about here is Spectre. And I have to say, Spectre was something I looked forward to a great deal. I mean, at the end of Skyfall, we had a changing of the guard. And this seemed to be the moment when we're going to bring Bond out fully. We have Ralph Fiennes as the new M. We've been introduced to Q, who's played by Ben Whishaw. And so we saw all the elements, and we have Moneypenny in there. And we have all of these elements updated to this new, fuller, more depth James Bond. And essentially, we go into this movie coming off of a real high with Skyfall. Skyfall was absolutely fantastic. It wasn't quite the level of, Casino Royale for me, but nothing's going to ever top that for me. And I know it was the Bond that wasn't a Bond, but it was so beautifully done from the opening black and white shots right into the, to me, it was a great musical number by, you know, Chris Cornell. We have a, to kind of compare it in this movie, we have another great opening. I must say, the Day of the Dead with James Bond doing basically a one shot. Nothing is more impressive than his walk along the outside wall on the outside after just telling a, you know, femme fatale that, that he is, you know, going to be back in a minute, and walking out was extremely impressive at the beginning of this movie. The entire sequence, I wasn't at, I know a lot of people made a big deal out of the helicopter sequence and that. I wasn't completely into that, but all the rest of it was amazing to me. Which then when we got to that opening pre-song by, I think, Sam Smith, and I don't even know what the name of it was terrible. It was horrid. I don't know how to express it beyond that. It was a terrible opening song. I think this will go down as the worst opening song in the entire Bond sequence. You know, from there, the movie actually struggles a great deal, I must say. And it really pains me to say that, because I'm really a Bond fan. And so why does it struggle? What about it struggles? Well, to me, you know, Bond did everything first. There's no question that so many of the movies that we now see are Bond-esque. You know, Mission Impossible struggled, to me, I saw it this year with the Rogue Nation, struggled to get up to that Bond level and not quite get there. It's got its own charm, though it has to overcome the Tom Cruise factor, because I really don't like him. But, you know, Bond did everything first, and now we're seeing, like, well, okay, so they're drawing on these older stories, and what they did beautifully in the first three was they updated it. They updated it in the sense that they gave Bond a human side that they unfortunately lack a little bit in this movie. It feels almost like, well, they want to tie it all together, which was a bad idea to me, because the first three was a trilogy, I think, that kind of set the tone. You know, you had the opening, the making of a 007. Then you have this really let down second movie where he is, you know, it's dark, and it's a dark movie all the way around because of the context and everything that's in it. And then you had this third one, which is the over the top smash in the face. We're going to, you know, Judy Dench's M has some back stuff that, you know, that she has to deal with. And Javier Bardem plays a magnificent bad guy, a really great bad guy in that movie, and ups the ante on everything. And then we're going to try to come in and tell you, Inspector, that this other dude was behind everything. And of course, there was hints of that. They kind of blah. It's hard for me to see, you know, Javier Bardem's character, like, in any way being subservient to this Blofeld dude, you know, and I'm not telling you anything that's not in the trailer to some extent. You can see that in one of the trailers. So it's not really a complete spoiler, but that's the type of thing, from my perspective, that, you know, what they needed to do from my perspective is create a greater tension here. You know, give a story that maybe starts from this point and gives him a reason to really dislike this guy. You know, there's lots of things they could have drawn upon in his history to be able to do it. You know, I think the other thing that this movie struggles with is the fact that there was so much emotion drawn into Vesper Lynd that we're still talking about her at this point. And you almost see that they're trying to get a chemistry with this new woman. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce her French name in this movie. You see them trying to do that, and you see that perhaps down the line they're going to replay the thing where he gets married, etc. And there's a whole element to that. But they don't have the chemistry on screen that Vesper and, you know, Eva Green and Daniel Craig had in the opening movie. So it's just not there from that perspective. This movie goes long. It's over 2 hours and 20 minutes. Dave Bautista is in it. He plays Hinks. And to my knowledge, he never was named Hinks in the entire movie. I had to go in the credits, and actually somebody commented to me about Hinks, the Destroyer. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's Jax, Drax the Destroyer. That's who did. I didn't even realize that was his name. And that's a callback to Jaws and Odd Job and some of the other ones from the prior movies. And that's what's so... they tried to be everything to everybody in this, and somehow in doing so, they didn't deliver the story that they should have. And that's unfortunate, because there's so many people that loved the Blofeld and Spectre element that made it so excellent. And, they did everything first, honestly. The problem is, this movie harkens back to the prior movie in so many ways. Ralph Fiennes as M is having to battle, MI5 taking over MI7 with this new guy coming in C. And in the last movie, he did the same thing to the prior M. And at the end of the day, what's at the root of what they're trying to get at? Well, there's this big evil machine that's going to collect all this information. If I'm not mistaken, the guy in the last movie had the same thing. So it just seems like there's a little bit of redundancy in story. And then there's this thing that they're trying to do to make everyone happy possible. And I think they kind of lack a little bit at the end of it because of that. It could have been better. That's the point. I still love the Daniel Craig era. It's not even a question about that. I don't dislike this movie for what it is. I dislike this movie for what it could have been. And so that means I don't really dislike it. I still like it. I like that they paid homage to all these things. There's a part of me that loves every bit of it. But there's also one that says, this is less than what you were before. Skyfall and certainly Casino Royale, and to a lesser degree, Quantum Solace, was of a higher quality than what you put together in this. The dialogue seemed wooden. It went too long, and the climax that came was not a climax, in my point of view. And frankly, as a setter of trends, as this used to be when you talked about Bond, we're not quite at that same stage anymore, because I really feel like the same story has been told and told better this year. Certainly, well, maybe not even this year. The Winter Soldier story was very similar and done better, with a greater tension at the end of the movie. And I think to a large extent, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation kind of trumped them and got out of the gate first. And hey, look, I don't really think that's a great movie, but it was the best out of the Mission Impossible movies. And so to me, this is there, but I'm going to give it a C+. I'd like to think that Daniel Craig is going to come back and give us some more, but I'm not certain that he's going to do that. He has one more movie that's supposed to be in his contract, and he only came back to do this one because Sam Mendes was involved. But I don't know if that helped in the end. Adding all that continuity and tying it all together, keeping it all in the family, was not the best thing in the end for this movie. So I'm looking forward to greater things. So after a few little words here, I will give you the trailer. We'll talk to you again soon.
You have been listening to the Movies, Cigars, and a Brew podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher. Find reviews of other movies, cigars, and beers at MoviesCigarsAndABrew.com. Give a like on Facebook or follow Keith on Twitter at MovieCigarBeer. Your trailer is coming up next.
This organization, do you know what it's called?
Its name is Spectre.
Look around you, James. Everything you believed in, a ruin. Why did you come?
I came here to kill you.
Do
I thought you came here to die.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective.